Love everyone. Hey, what's wrong? What's wrong? Is this an overexposure? Is that a... Come on. Praise God. That's better. You may be seated. I got some great stuff for you today. Really great stuff. We're going to go into another character here, if I can get to him here today, that's shown in places and you never would have thought. May the peace of Yahweh be with each and every one of you. The top 10 foods causing foodborne illnesses bought in the grocery stores, leafy greens, leafy green vegetables, eggs, caged hen eggs, tuna. I'm concerned about this tuna. I don't know if it's canned tuna. They say you can't kill this, not with canning. It's causing skin flush. It's a poisoning that includes skin flushing, headaches, abdominal cramps, nausea, diarrhea, palpitations, and loss of vision. Anyway, I think you ought to forego tuna bought from the stores till we're sure that we can even eat the stuff again. Oysters also. Let's see. Yeah, forego those. cheese. They're finding outbreaks in cheese. Now, this is the soft cheeses, I'm told. Ice cream. I think they recalled a bunch of that. Tomatoes. They have something about tomatoes that is getting in the inside the stalk. I'm thinking maybe it might be bred into it. I'm not sure yet because we're still gathering information. And sprouts, you know, people think they can eat those. I'm getting to where I don't want to buy anything out of a grocery store anymore. It's almost like, you know, you can sprout your own vegetables real easy, you know, just if you can find some uncontaminated seed, you know. Surely there's some. Berries. Hepatitis A was the culprit found in the berries. And, of course, I'm thinking that some of this is deliberately being caused. I read of someone who hated other people, other races, I guess, other races. And he had a cup of urine that he kept handy when he was making pizzas. I know this is sick, but he put some on a police officer's pizza, and he took it and had it the DNA checked because he thought he knew who it was, and sure enough, it was. But this hatred, it's really causing a lot of trouble. And retaliation, of course, that and the way they're going to solve it, you know, is get more policemen, I guess. Dangers as E. coli 0157. They've got a bunch of others now that I guess came from that strain, and they don't have a killer for that yet, so it's getting in the foods. Alzheimer's disease be transmitted in humans through blood transfusions, which means now that it can also be translated through other things. Kissing is one of them. Tainted celery sickens at least 6 in Texas, and 4 die. Well, that's up to 5 now, I'm told. It's this is just recent, and it's going pretty strong. The celery, it's the E. coli is in the plant itself. So, let's see, this they're recalling all the celery from January. From January, yeah. Like you're going to have it in your refrigerator now, but from January. I don't know if that scare is over yet, but they're just now recalling it. So if you bought some, you might ought to take it back. China buying up oil in Texas, oil rights. The Pope was reading the Mayan doomsday belief. Someone came out and said he was wrong by about 50 years. What a relief, huh? I was really trusting in that prophecy. doomsday cult, that's what it is. Pope. If you remember, I hope you all remember, I didn't bring this, just a reminder of what the Sabbath is for, and you need to start practicing this. Make the Sabbath a delight to others. Well, how do you do that? You find your place in the house of Yahweh, and you do what you're assigned to do with all your might. Don't grow weary of well-doing. Keep doing it. You do that by conducting Yahweh's business, not your own business, but conducting Yahweh's business totally. That's his business right here. It's going on right now. And you're part of it. Remember what Yahweh says about my Sabbath rest that he has assigned me to bring. It's glorious. We make it that way by serving others on the Sabbath day. And we make it that way by going about Yahweh's business on the Sabbath day. Don't do your own business. Get that done before the Sabbath. Also get all your pleasures taken care of before the Sabbath. That includes your cooking and sewing and everything. Ask for a job in the house on the Sabbath. And then do it, and you'll make it a delight to others. Pay your tithes. That's keeps the Yahweh's business going. And of course, when it hurts and somebody is guilty of being a thief, it's gonna go on your record that you are a thief. And of course, you're already told not to steal, and especially from Yahweh, but you're not to steal from people either. Pay your tithe and offerings. Tithe is making the Sabbath a delight for others. It even makes it possible for others. I was handed a hypothetical situation right after the feast, and the man says, I know you, you say no gifts. No gifts, but what if? I said, well, I just told you what the scripture says. Now, you could go with whatever you want to with your what ifs, and you could make up all kinds of them, like people do about counseling, you know. But Yahweh tells you, you better be counseled by his elders, and you better pay attention to what they say, his priest and priestess, the same way with gifts. Work out another way. If you have a question about it, call us. Don't do your own work or your own business on the Sabbath day. Be ready to be taught. Watch your step when you come here. Be ready to be taught. Not ready to give answer, but ready to be taught. And concentrate. This is one of the things that we're having trouble with, people not concentrating on things, on what is brought. And of course, I have to go back and repeat it. And maybe if you could write this down, what I'm going to repeat right now, and then you could have in a notebook, if you have a notebook, just write not in long, not in 100 words, but maybe in 5. But if you remember, we were showing the last day's work. That is, Yahweh showed the last day's work, and he started in Genesis to showing that work, but he hid it. He showed it in a way that he could hide it, and he could reveal it in a certain time period. And of course, people know that these things are hidden. The scholars today can see that they're hidden, and they have struggled, as commentators say, they've struggled over them, trying to understand them. Yeshua said even the Malachim of heaven have searched diligently to try to understand these scriptures. But you can't outsmart Yahweh. That his mind is so magnificent. If you can think of, he's numbered all the stars in heaven. He calls them by name. Not one of them's been lost. It's amazing the kind of mind that this being has that is spending his full attention right now on you and guiding you to perfection, and that's what he shows you in the Holy Scriptures. By the way, we're going out to, we got setups where we can actually talk back and forth. We added another one this morning. We got five now going out to the different nations. Can you see me? Wave at me. there you go. How about that? Both see and hear. And speaking to, I forgot the list now. I don't think I wrote it down. But it's, maybe I'll give it to you next week if they haven't already told you. But showing, Yahweh is showing you the last day's work starting in Genesis. He's showing you that work, and what he intends to do is bring mankind into his image, his likeness, and then give them authority over the universe. Not to the Malachim in heaven, but to turn over to Daniel. Not to the Malachim in heaven, but to mankind. And in Daniel now, Daniel 12, in verse 10 here, he shows you plainly that none of the wicked will understand. Wicked steal from Yahweh. They don't pay their tithe. They don't pay their vows. So they can't understand. Their minds are blocked, and you can rest assured this is blocking your mind if you're doing this. And the first thing you need to do is straighten your life up, and then you will start understanding this in Yahweh's house. Because he says, ask and I'll do it. But you've got to repent and be converted in order to do so. Well, you understand that much, I know. Yahweh says in Acts 3:19, repent and be converted that your sins might be wiped out. This will get you back in contact with Yahweh and open the door to your understanding. Now, in verse 1 here, he's talking about the last days. This is what Daniel is speaking of right here, the last day's work. The same as we've been studying, the last time period. It's a little bit different when it's corrected, and the authoritative books correct this. And I'm going to leave the most of it to the great David Yehuda Hawkins, who handed me this just now. We've been working on it throughout the week, and in fact, several years. But we keep getting other books to where we can, and sources to where we can actually trace this back to the original. But that at that time, will Micaiah stand up? I'll just read you the perfect translation. And at that time, one who is like Yahweh will stand at Abel. Yes, and we have the books, the educated books here to back us up in this. There's no mistaking that this is here. Israel, the great priest who stands at Abel to teach Yahweh's just, perfect laws to the children of your people, and there will be a time of trouble such as never was since there was a nation to that same time, and at that time your people will be delivered from sins and sickness and disease and death. It's what it's speaking of here, delivered to do a work that is prophesied here in the last part of this chapter, where Daniel says Then I looked, and here, lo and behold, I see two others. Now, he's just told there in verse 4 to seal up this until the time of the end, to seal it up where it can't be understood. Then I, Daniel, looked, and behold, there stood two others. Well, of course, who are these two others? Matithya, remember this scripture now, Matithya 21:7, the Savior set on two works there, or two individual works. And of course, we see this revealed in other places, but if you compare that to Genesis 49:10, you'll see the donkeys here that we covered in detail. And then we see here in Isaiah that these others are Isaiah 45:4. We see that they're referred to as donkeys. Then, and remember Daniel 5 now, Daniel 5, that he sees two others. And then we went to, if you remember, Isaiah 11, well, no, Zechariah 4 in verse 12, and we see these branches. Well, in Isaiah now, 11, go back to Isaiah 11, and let's read that. Isaiah 11, and verse 1, we see there will come forth a rod. This is the rod out of the stem of Yeshua, and a branch will grow out of his roots. A branch will grow out of his roots, and we see this. These branches here, and of course we wonder what they are. Then we remember Daniel that said these are two others. And then we go to Zechariah, the fourth chapter. Am I going too fast? Zechariah 4, and we see in verse 12 then, verse 12, then I spoke to him and asked him, what are these two branches here? These two branches. So we know what he shows here in chapter 4 and 5 is speaking of a work of two branches. And then when we go clear over to the last book in the book of Yahweh, the book of Revelations, we see then that all of these are referring to a single work, where Revelations 11 says, then measure the temple, and then its outer courts leave out, it's been given to others. And then we see in verse 4, before that he says, I will give power to my two witnesses, and they will prophesy about this dark days that Daniel showed in chapter 9, where a Micaiah, the way they translated it, would stand up. And lo and behold, that was hidden really well. But it is true and correctly translated right here in this, that someone will stand up at Abel and start foretelling these things. Well, here we see in verse 3 now that they will foretell these events about this time period. And then he plainly says these are the two olive trees. Well, what two olive trees? Well, you've got to know the other prophecies, of course, to know what olive trees he's talking about. Genesis 1:26 is where he starts his prophecy about the mankind and who he's going to give this to those who are made in his image. And then in Yochanan 5:27, we see that a man actually accomplished this. And this was the man that was put on two donkeys, as Yahweh said, to do it. And he would ride on these two donkeys, a donkey and a colt. And, of course, this is what the commentators say. This don't make any sense, that a man would sit on two donkeys. Did he ride both of them at once, or did he ride one of them at a time for a little ways and change? It's all absurd, they said. Every bit of it is absurd until you understand that this was accomplished so that you could see a prophecy being fulfilled and know that all these prophecies had to be fulfilled. Then, Matithya 26, 55 and 56, he shows they were fulfilled. And let's go to Matthew 24, and I'll be too much time. Let's go to Psalms 2. But in Matthew 24, he says in verse 34 through 37, he said, the Savior himself says, when you see these things spoken of now by the prophets, and one of the prophets was Daniel, when you see these things, when you see these things start to come to pass, then you know that that's the end. And all of these things, he says, is going to be fulfilled. And then in Psalms, the second chapter now, Psalms 2, and verse 8 here, he says, ask of me, and I will give you the nations for your inheritance. Well, of course, this is a promised inheritance that was given in Genesis 1:26. And then we compare this ask of me, and I will give you. Well, here is a second branch. The commentators know this from the Hebrew words here, and we covered that last week. They know that this actually is referring to another work. But who? Now go to Isaiah again, 41. Isaiah 41. I hope some of y'all have that written and you're just going right to it before I ask. But Isaiah 41 and verse 2, we see this prophecy again here, and he shows us another hint here, but still it's hidden. With this, even with this given right here, they still don't know, and here's where they start saying, you know, that men have struggled over these famous prophecies for years but could not understand it. Well, of course, it was promised now in Isaiah 2, and then Psalms and all the scriptures that I've read you, and then the Savior sitting on the donkeys. And then here he says in 41, Isaiah 41, and now I'm going to slow down. Isaiah 41 and verse 2, who raised up the righteous one from the east. Well, that's raised him from the dead, called him to his feet, and gave him the nations. Remember that word nations. Keep remembering that, because that was what was shown to us in Psalms, the second chapter. Ask of me and I'll give you the nations. Okay, and then here he gives the nations to this one that he raises from the dead. That's only been one. And then Hebrews 1 through 4 gives us the details of that. And him sitting there at the right hand of Yahweh for what for? For the last day's work. The last day's work, to accomplish the prophecies for the last days. Now in Matthew 21:7, then they place his cloaks on the road, their cloaks in front of him on the road, showing he was accepted as king. And of course, that was prophesied. And then he sat as king. He sat as a king, but he sat on two donkeys, showing the last day's work. But nobody is catching this. None of the wicked will understand. What makes a wicked? Not keeping the commandments, not keeping the laws, not paying their tithe to the last day's work, not bringing all their tithe in offerings, which are gifts, to the last day's work. As Malachi said, he said, you steal if you do anything else. He set upon them, and that's exactly the way it's written, but they say this is absurd. This doesn't make any sense at all. Well, speaking, of course, of the last day's work. Now that brings us up to almost up to date. It's going to get real interesting from here, if it hasn't already. Now, this is a prophecy that reaches the nations. So you've got to compare, turn over to Matthew 24 now, and remember here, ask of me and I'll give you the nations. Well, what for? Just to charge them tribute or something? Put them under their control? That's what the Catholic Church did through Constantine. By this you will conquer them, and you'll put them under your control. And of course, then we will charge tribute. We will take all their land, which they're still taking. But now, I don't know if you noticed the book that Condoleezza Rice has put out, but she says, we've got some real problems, and she said, we are going to suffer. And she's telling some things, and then the wiki information revealed, we'll be bringing some of that, but it some of it that leaks out. Now it's available to us. Well, she knows about it too, and of course she's writing another book now to, in addition to the first book she wrote, but both of them reveal the plan, and she said this plainly, we can't let these nations go back to wearing their veils. You know, everybody knew this was a war of religion. They said it. The general said it. Well, it's still a war of religion, but of course, Revelation is the bottom line on it, where it shows hurt not the oil. And of course, when we will go into these nations, and all the nations know this now, and they are not pleased with what the United States is doing. But as she says, we can't turn back. As Condoleezza Wright was reporting this thing, and they're playing it big time on the news now, we can't turn back now. It's simply out of the question to allow these nations to go back to what they were before we started this again. And she said, democracy is something that has to grow. And it takes a long time to get it into a nation. It takes a long time for people to accept it and convert to it. Well, of course, the Catholic Church has been pushing democracy for thousands of years. Constantine was pushing democracy. Rome, when it was still called Pharisees and Sadducees, were pushing democracy. Way back in Samuel's day, they were pushing democracy. And of course, now the Roman Empire, they say, well, that's gone. No, it's not. It's everywhere in the world today. The Roman Empire rules the United States. If you look at the badge of any police officer, he's got a badge that's a replica of the Roman shield. But you see it everywhere in the United States. Go to Washington and look. You will see it big time. But this is a work now that is prophesied. The Savior was the one that rose from the dead. Then he rides two donkeys to perform the greatest work of going to the nations. Well, here we see it prophesied by the Savior himself, and he knew that he was going to do this. He had to know he was going to do this. And of course, because of that, because of knowing this and what it was going to involve and how it was going to turn this whole thing around and stop the sin, sickness, and suffering, the sin-sick world, then he went through this to the death and suffered the shame that comes from a reproach and so forth. But here in verse 14, he said, this message of the kingdom, telling about this end time, this message of the kingdom will be preached in all the world. It can be translated by the witness or as a witness to all nations, and then the end. Well, he was speaking, of course, of that time period that we're in right now. In verse 29, he shows the sun's going to be darkened. Then verse 34, he says, truly I say to you that that generation will not pass away till you see all these things. Once you see them start, it's not going to pass away till all is fulfilled. Now, if you go back to, remember what he says here, it's going to be preached in all the world. Go back to Isaiah 2 again. Isaiah 2. Because here was the prophecy that was spoken of that the work, the last day's work that's going to be done by somebody sitting on two donkeys, prophesied also for the last days. Remember, Genesis 49, verse 1 said, here's what's going to be in the last days. Then verse 10 starts talking about the person that was raised from the dead sitting on two donkeys in the last days. Well, in Isaiah 2 now, in verse 2, it says, it will come to pass in the last days that the mountain, the last days now, that the promotion, now here is your work started, the work, the last day's work, it's going to be a promotion of the house of Yahweh, will be established in the chief of the nations. And it will be raised above all congregations, and all nations will eventually flow to it. Now, so you notice here, this is the last day's work that it's speaking of. The Savior spoke of this. Ask and I'll give you the nations, Isaiah 41:2 said, to the man raised from the dead, the righteous man that was raised from the dead. Remember, his scepter is not just a stick of power, but his scepter was righteousness, complete righteousness. And Isaiah 41 verse 2 said, this righteous man raised from the dead. So here we see the nations now in the last days, that the mountain, the promotion of the house of Yahweh, will be established in the chief of the nations and will be raised above all congregations, and all nations will eventually flow to it. They will flow to it. Now, you don't need to go any further right there, right now. Look over here to chapter 1 now. Chapter 1, and notice verse 1. The vision Isaiah, the son of Amos, he saw concerning Yada and Jerusalem. He saw this concerning the 12 tribes, as is shown to us in Genesis 49, where it says, in the last days, this is what the 12 tribes is going to be doing. In the last days. So here he says, concerning Yada and Jerusalem, in the days of Uzziah, and verse 2 says, hear, O heavens, and give ear, O earth, for this is what Yahweh has spoken. I have nourished and brought up children, and they have rebelled against me. Well, of course, this is what Genesis showed too. Genesis 49, and shows you each tribe there. Each tribe. Now look for the word donkey in the next verse here. The word donkey. And he tells you something about the donkeys here. He gives you an understanding of the faithfulness here of a donkey. The donkeys he's talking about, which is you for this time period. The ox knows its owner, and the donkey knows its owner's crib, but Israel does not know. My people do not consider. Ah, sinful nation, a people laden with iniquities, a seed of evildoers. Notice a seed of evildoers. Children who are corruptors, they have forsaken Yahweh. This is what he says of them to the prophet, the great prophet Isaiah, for the last days, concerning these people for the last days. But the donkeys know who they're serving here. And this is what he's showing in this verse. But the others have forsaken Yahweh. Remember, he said in Revelations 12:9, the whole world is deceived at this time. Well, look at verse 5 now. Why would you be stricken anymore? Why would you revolt more and more? The whole head is sick and the whole heart is faint. Talking about the whole earth at this time. From the sole of the foot to the top of the head, there is no soundness in it, only wounds, bruises, putrefying sores. They've not been closed or bound up, nor soothed with ointment. He's talking about a lamb now that is totally defiled, as Isaiah 24 says, because of breaking the laws. And he tells them that plainly. Anyone can understand Isaiah 24, 1 through 6. Because you, what is causing this, he says, is the breaking of my law. Well, so we see a earth, all nations sick. But only one group here that's pulling the load knows the crib that Yahweh put them in, which is the house of Yahweh, of course. And he says here, your country is desolate and your cities are burned with fire. Strangers devour strangers. This word strangers here, it means profane. It's profane people. It's, hold your place right there and turn over to Jeremiah 23, because he uses that certain word there to describe what the world is at this time. And the word strangers, I think one of them translated it Gentiles, but it means profane people. They're strange to the laws of Yahweh, or strangers to the law of Yahweh. But Jeremiah 23, verse 14, he says, I have also seen in the prophets of Jerusalem a horrible thing. They commit adultery. They commit adultery. Yes, the whole world is committing adultery at this time, because this is spread through the seed. It's even being bred into everyone. And the articles that we're seeing now from scientific research shows that the genes now are so altered that a person can actually be born with a gene that will give you cancer at the age of 8 years old, 10 years old, 20 years old. But it's programmed like an alarm on a clock to go off, and then certain cells in your body start overgrowth and causing a cancer to one organ or more in your body. Well, that's how defiled it is getting through what is taking place with the sodomites. And he shows there in the last two lines that you have become as Sodom and Gomorrah to me. Well, we see what's going on in the Catholic Church. It's brought to light every once in a while. What went on with the so-called Indians who were Hebrews in Oklahoma and living there when Columbus supposedly discovered America, which everyone knows that's a lie. He didn't. But the reason Britain put him down as the discoverer was because they also said, we own the land because we discovered it. So that was put there for, they did this for a reason, so they could own the land. Like now we've discovered $1 billion mines of uranium, I believe it is, in Afghanistan. We discovered that. They didn't know it was there. All these years, they didn't know anything about this, and now we've discovered it, so we are the discoverers, see? We own all of this wealth there now. Apparently, we discovered the oil, too. They didn't know that was there. You know, what are these pipelines here? Anyway, you know, it's quite a joke, but what took place with the so-called Indians, who were Hebrews, of course, and more and more is being brought out on this now. Hebrews had taken over this land in Oklahoma, in certain portions of it. And, of course, they had got here before, and they took the warm places next to the coast and so forth. Well, of course, it's like Iraq today, or like Condoleezza Rice said, you know, we can't allow this. We cannot allow this to go back the way it was. So the order was, come on, Constantine, with your upside-down sword that you call a cross, and let's conquer this land. But there was orphanages set up for little boys. Preferably the age of 9, they said, was when they liked it the best. I know it's sick. And this is what Yahweh is telling you here in these two verses. We're facing a sick world today. And it was brought about, if you will look, from you, 12 tribes. Yes, there is no other races. This is it. From you, profaneness has gone to all the earth. Well, we have records now. One of them is the history of the American Indian. You may want that. I'm going to bring a lot of it out in the prophetic word and then the sermons. But in the schools, the orphanages schools, certain things took place with little boys that was owned and run by Catholic priests, as they are being run today. These things are set up in Iraq and Afghanistan today, big time. And it takes a long time, but it will never take place. But they're saying, we're going to win this war. Remember, Malachi Martin told you before it ever took place, before they invaded Iraq or Afghanistan, Malachi Martin said, the Queen of Heaven is going to make war against the Muslim nations. And anyone who will not accept her democracy is going to suffer greatly. We closed our minds to that. The world heard it and forgot it. But it's taking place. Well, what took place in the orphanages in the United, what came the United States later, what became the United States later, those men, when they got to a certain age, they were released because they were no longer attractive. But what was put in them was sickness. Their minds were sick. So they went out after they were released, and they started families of their own, but they raped their children. And when asked, yes, this is a matter of history, and you can find it. We're going to bring it out, of course. But when asked why, they were taught so in the orphanages with what they went through. And they became like this is shown here in this verse. Could it be any plainer than that for you? I hate to get too graphic on this, but this is what took place in the orphanages. Well, profaneness from the prophets of Jerusalem. Profaneness has gone out into all the land. From these same prophets of Jerusalem who went on to, who were taken to Babylon and to Rome. And of course, that's where the artifacts was taken by Constantine. By Titus, who went in and destroyed the temple. They took all the artifacts out of the temple, if you remember the history. The Ark of Titus sits in Jerusalem at this time as well as in Rome. And that's where these priests of Jerusalem went to. And from there then, it kept spreading and spreading and spreading. That's after these people who were living in this place in the United States that became the United States, they thought they had a safe place to live. Well, of course, eventually it caught up with them, as Yahweh prophesied that it would. I brought out the prophecies where he said, you think you can hide yourself from me? He said, you are going to suffer and you're going to understand what sin brings. And he said, even if you hide in caves or the furthest places of the earth, the ends of the earth, he said, you will be followed and you'll be found and you will know what sin brings. What you have promoted is what's going to take you over and eat you up. Well, back to Isaiah here now, 1 and verse 7, and notice the strangers. That is, the profane people devour your land in your presence. It is desolate. It's overthrown by profane people. The word strangers there is used again. This is not Gentiles or other races. It's taking place of the 12 tribes. That was Isaiah, the first chapter. Isaiah chapter 1, but the donkey in verse 3 knows. It's crib, he says, in this time period. Now go back to chapter 2 again. Chapter 2 and look at start with verse 1. The word that Isaiah, son of Amos, saw concerning Yada and Jerusalem. It will come to pass in the last days that the promotion of the house of Yahweh will be established in the chief of the nation. They didn't even know what the chief of the nations was going to be. Well, of course, Rome thought it was going to be Rome. That was the chief of the nations. In fact, their historians say, our empire now rules the whole earth. Many of them said this. In fact, the commentators, they hound them for this and criticize them for it. But that's what took place. And he says, will be established in the chief of the nations and will be raised above all congregations, and all nations will eventually flow to it. Well, of course, now this is a prophecy that Satan knew would come to pass. So, of course, she went out, she set her mind to destroy this work. My job is to build this work. That's what your job is. Yes, praise Yahweh. Her job that she has been assigned to by herself is to destroy the work. Well, verse 3, and many people will go and say, come and let us go up to the mountain of Yahweh, to the house of the father of Jacob, and he will teach us his ways, and we will walk in his paths. This is the last day's work. Verse 2, this will come to pass in the last days. If you remember, this prophecy of Isaiah 41, verse 2, is a prophecy of the last day. Well, here is what's taking place. This is the job or the work that the donkeys do. Isaiah 49, I'll show you what will take place in the last day. Here's coming a king on two donkeys that will do this work right here, establish this work in the chief of the nations, and all people will eventually flow to it. For the law will depart from Zion. It won't be there anymore. The word of Yahweh will depart from Jerusalem. If you remember, Yahshua said to the Samaritan woman, the time has come. She said, our forefathers said we were to worship in these mountains. In Galilee, she is talking about. Now they're saying you must worship in Jerusalem. And Yahshua said, the time will come when he will not be worshipped here at all. He won't be worshipped in Jerusalem or in these mountains. A prophecy said that it will be taken from you and given to another nation whose habits are the same, to a similar people whose habits are the same. Well, lo and behold, Oklahoma was filled with them, or a big number of them, and before they started killing them all. Hebrew people that was running for their lives, trying to get away from Constantine and other ruthless killers. Verse 4, he will judge among the nations. Remember the prophecy now in Isaiah 41:2, he'll judge among the nations. Matthew 24:14, this message will be preached in all the world. Revelations 11:5, by my two witnesses. Starting with the two witnesses, this is going to take place. And will rebuke many people. They will beat their swords into plowshares, their spears into pruning hook. Notice there will not be war anymore. Let's go on down. Let's read on down. O house of Jacob, come, let us walk in the light of Yahweh. Why did he put that there? Now think for just a moment. He's showing you something. Here is something that if you grasp this right here, it will help you to understand the history of the house of Yahweh. Because he shows you this, he shows you my brother. He shows you my brother, Jacob, right here. And somebody saying to him, let us walk in the light of Yahweh. Now look at the very next verse. You have forsaken your people, the house of Jacob, because he was filled with customs from the east. From the east? This identifies this person with another prophecy here. He is filled with customs from the east. Do you remember me telling you that Jacob moved to Israel? He stayed in Israel. He was a citizen of Israel for 7 years. He first lived near Jerusalem, then the Dead Sea, and then he moved north to Nazareth. North. Now remember all this stuff that I'm telling you here, because I'm telling you this man is identified. It fulfills, you're filled with customs from the east. Well, this ties Jacob in now to be from the east. This man right here, customs from the east. So it tells you he came from the east. Look at chapter 41 of Isaiah again now. Chapter 41, and notice here, verse 25. Who are these men? These are the famous prophecies they're still struggling to find out. I know who they are. The house of Yahweh is the only ones on earth that know who these men are. I have stirred up one from thee, and we translated that protective place. If you had a King James Version, it would say this. I have raised up one, and that word raised, it means raised from the dead, according to the scriptures translated around it, like you see in verse 2. Or it means stirred up, aroused, or inspired. So, I have stirred up one, that's the way it should be translated, from the north. From the north. My brother lives in Nazareth. I don't know if I got a map. Let me see. Now remember this now. Here's Jerusalem. And you go north, you'll run right into Nazareth. This is where, in Galilee, you go from Jerusalem here to right here, going north, you'll come into Galilee and Nazareth. That's where my brother worked for 7 years. Now his work was, he was trying to establish a work in Israel. And the message that came back to him was, we don't want this taught. We don't want the name used among our children, among our young people. We don't want them to hear it, see it. You remember what they told Jeremiah? They said, we're going to kill you if you use this name anymore around our children. Well, that's the same thing they said to my brother, we're going to kill you. They didn't say kill, they said we're going to carry you out of here in a pine box. Which I think is the same thing. I would translate it that way. Well, let's go back here now to verse 25. And he says, I have stirred up one from the north, and he shall come from the rising of the sun. You see how this identifies this man? Well, from the rising of the sun is east. If you will go over to Revelations, hold your place there. Revelations, the 7th chapter, you'll see a work here. A last day's work here. Now remember what Isaiah 2 said. In the last days I will establish my house, and many people will flow unto it. And eventually, all nations will turn. That is what's left of the nations after the wars of the quartet are finished. What is left of those nations is shown to be about 2 billion people that will repent and turn to Yahweh and start keeping the feast. All of that is shown right here in Revelation 7. Notice of all the tribes here of the numbers. Well, first off, remember, he stirs up one in the north. Then he will come from the direction of the rising of the sun. He stirred him up when he was north of Jerusalem. And they say, was this Cyrus? No. Well, Cyrus came from the north, but he did something else. I don't know. Well, I think they forgot when that man died. It was 200 years later that Isaiah made this prophecy after King Cyrus did his thing. But they get so screwed up in their thinking because none of the wicked will understand. To understand, you've got to repent. And you've got to be converted where the Spirit, where Yahweh's power can start working with the mind. And that's the only way you'll understand these prophecies. But here now, he says in verse, we read that, and then in verse, remember, he comes from the east. He stirs him up in the north, then he comes from the rising of the sun for what? And after these things I saw, and the King James Version says four angels, which threw everybody off because they think this is an angel from heaven. And the King James is really great at that. Every messenger, they translated angel in the Bible, whether he was a messenger of a king or a messenger of Yahweh or a messenger of a queen or whatever. But they translated it angel. Well, it means four messengers. And after these things, I saw four messengers. That's what the quartet is. It's four. And these are messengers of the nation saying, you cannot keep this religion of yours anymore. You cannot practice this. We're going to stop you from practicing it. And Condoleezza Rice said on yesterday's CNN news that it was sent to me, said, we cannot allow this to take place again. And she had the pictures of the women there wearing veils. Why do they hate veils so much? Well, because it represents a religion. And of course, it's a non-Catholic. And it is called democracy. Freedom from the laws of Yahweh. Freedom. They tried to make out like the Savior taught freedom from the laws of Yahweh, meaning that you didn't have to keep the laws and he is going to give you eternal life. Be as mean and hateful and wicked as you are right now, and Jesus will give you eternal life. Well, first off, the Savior's name is not Jesus. That's one of Constantine's gods that he worshiped. Secondly, Yeshua said, if you want to enter life, keep the commandments. That's in Matthew 17:19, I believe. And then Revelation 22:14, verse 12 says, I come quickly, my reward is with me, and blessed are those who keep his laws or commandments, as the King James Version says, that they may have right to life. You have no right to life at all. You can be deceived if you want to and follow the Catholic Church if you want to, but the Catholic Church is not, it can't bring you eternal life. It doesn't have it to offer. It doesn't have salvation to offer. The only salvation that's offered is in this Bible here, or Book of Yahweh, or Holy Scriptures, the inspired Scriptures. That's the only salvation there is. And you must perform righteousness or you will not receive eternal life or get anywhere close to it. Well, here we see four Malachim standing on the four corners of the earth, holding the four winds of the earth, so that the wind should not blow upon the earth, nor the sea, nor any of the trees. And I saw another Moloch ascending from the east. If you look back again here now to Isaiah, you'll see this man prophesied. I have stirred up one from the north. Nazareth is from the north. from the north, and he shall come from the rising of the sun or from the east. If you're coming from the east, you're going west. The United States is west of Jerusalem. From the direction of the sun, gathering those who call on my name, he will tread on rulers. This word tread here, it means the word rulers. It means just officials and it's talking about actually on Yada. And treading actually means teaching or prophesying, as if they were mortar, like a potter treads clay. If you go back here now to 7, you remember, keep in mind what Yahshua did with the Samaritan woman. He said a few words to her, and he told the disciples, don't go near this work here that I've established. Don't go near this work. Go and do the work I've set before you to do. Well, from that work that he established in that particular place, the message went out to just mouth to mouth to all people that the Savior was come, he was established, and then when he was killed, then that word went out to all the living people at that time. When the Hebrews left running for their lives, came across the area of the North Pole, they brought, by the way, buffalo with them, because the buffalo, they said, could survive in extremely cold and go from extremely cold to extremely hot. That's where the buffalo, how they got to the United States. They were brought here. They came, and the buffalo was their food and their milk, their food supply. As they came through that area, it took them quite a while to make that journey. But once they made it, they knew how to get there, and more came then. Once the word, others were sent after them, then others started coming. And, of course, I'm sure the word got back that to others that there was land in other places that was unsettled. Before that, they didn't even know about that, about the land in this area at all. And, of course, from this prophecy now, and the one in Zechariah, the fourth chapter, you'll see, Zechariah 4, you'll see that there's two that Daniel saw that would establish this in a land, verses 10 through 10 and 11. They would establish the house of Yahweh in a Babylonian land not yet established. Well, of course, the United States was not even discovered at that time. And, of course, the persecution is what drove our forefathers, started driving them to the United States and trying to escape. But then it was discovered by, of course, the beastly system, and the beastly system started taking over. Well, of course, at this time now, in the last days, this Babylonian land is established. So one is stirred up from the north, then he comes from the rising of the sun, going east, saying, the war has got to be held back. These people have refused the word that Yahweh has sent to them. Now, this is my brother's message that was taught in Odessa, Texas. And I heard it, and of course I knew the details, and then the details of how he got his name and so forth. But verse 3, Revelation 7, verse 3, hurt not the earth, neither the sea nor the trees. That is with this prophesied destruction until these people hear this message. The message will be preached in all the world, and then the end will come. And this was a prayer, of course, of his and mine at that time, for the wars to be held back and open the doors for us to get this message out to the world. So you see, in this little prophecy that we see here, and in Isaiah now, Isaiah 41, the first part of it shows the man raised from the dead, verse 2. Another one here, if you look on down, is the other two people are shown in verse 8, Yisrael, but you, Yisrael, and then he identifies another, are my servant. Jacob, whom I have chosen, the seed of Abraham, my friend, you whom I have taken from the ends of the earth. Well, we see both men now mentioned here, but this one comes from the east. This is a work set before the righteous man who was raised from the dead. And now, verse 25, you see one more now identified his work here in verse 25, aroused in the north, then he comes from the east to do a work in the west. It was he, my brother, who came back from Israel, and he helped me in the land where the first services was held for the house of Yahweh, came, and what was a patio at that time on the back porch, he held the first service there, talking about the work that had to be done at that time. My brother helped to service there. And then later, the mobile sanctuary was built, and he came and helped dedicate this work here on this land to Yahweh. This work was dedicated to Yahweh. The work in Odessa was never dedicated to Yahweh, but this one was. Under my request, he came and helped us to do so. And it was established then, praise Yahweh. Then it was established after we went to work at that time to establish it with the United States, but it didn't become actually established until 1983, I think. I believe that's right, 1983. And the word then, the word of Yahweh, has been going out from this area shown in Scripture, which is west of the original work, Abel Israel. It's west of that work, due west, in fact. If you go to Abel Israel and go west, you'll hit Abilene, Texas, and this oak forest just to the east of Abilene, Texas. May the blessings of Yahweh be with you, and I'll turn the services back to the next speaker. I love you.